We're going to continue with scripture reading this morning. We're going to turn to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 1, verses 26 to 38. This is God's word, continuing God's word. We've heard a lot this morning to you and me this morning. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who is said to be unable to conceive is in her sixth month." Heavenly Father, today speak to us through the music we've heard and sung, the passages of Scripture we have looked at, including this one, this message, our prayers, our greeting of one another, our fellowship together, all of it, Lord, we pray that you would use to draw us into a deeper relationship with you so that you might be glorified through us. So do that even here and now. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, this morning, I really want to let the music be what primarily ministers to us. God's word is not just written. God's word is not just preached. It is also communicated through music. And so today, we have the special emphasis on music here in the service and God's word coming through to us in that way and for us to worship God through music as well. And what better way to celebrate the Sunday of joy than through music, right? I mean, it's fantastic. Nothing brings joy into our lives like than music does, I think. But I do want to talk about this passage for just a moment, which in preacher time, that means 25 minutes. I'm just kidding. It'll be less than, more like probably 10. And so going from the usual, say, 30 minutes to 10 minutes, there's reason for joy right there also, right? It's my Christmas gift to all of you. All right, so I want to touch on two things out of this passage from Luke. The first is the answer to an age-old question about this passage as it relates to verses that come before it that we looked at last week. In verse 18, as we saw last week, Zechariah questions the angel Gabriel about how he and his wife Elizabeth are going to become pregnant and give birth to a baby boy. As he puts it, "I'm an old man and my wife is getting along in years, or is well along in years." So he expresses doubt that God can do this, that this is even possible. The angel Gabriel is not pleased with this doubt, and so he gave Elizabeth an early Christmas gift and makes Zechariah mute until the baby that they're going to have is born, and they're going to name him John. Then in today's passage, Mary also raises a question expressing doubt about her becoming pregnant and giving birth. And yet Gabriel, the same angel, very similar kind of request going on here too, or not request, but this is what's going to happen kind of proclamation. He does not make her mute, or even Joseph, as if it's the men who need to be made mute. Why the different responses from the same angel to the same question of how can this be? The most common response I've ever seen, I think I've even preached on it before, is that the text doesn't give us the sense of their tone, their demeanor here, their attitude. And so the thinking goes that Mary was responding from a place of humility and openness and service, and Zechariah simply was not. And maybe there's something to that. But I think there's actually something else going on that's right here that's clearly in the text. So in a nutshell, the difference between the two is the differing reasons that they each have for asking the question of how can this be. The question isn't the problem itself. It's the motivation behind it or the reason for asking it. Mary's reason is that she's not married yet, and so how can she become pregnant? This is rooted in the sexual ethic that we see throughout Scripture, that sex is a holy gift to be expressed between a husband and a wife. Mary and Joseph are engaged. They are pledged to be married. They are not yet married. And although Gabriel doesn't have a time frame for the pregnancy here, he doesn't give a time frame, Mary understands it to be soon. And in fact, that is what we read as you continue along reading in Luke, of course. So to her way of thinking, there's no way she can become pregnant. That would be against her faith, against what she understands Scripture to say. She's a virgin, and because of her faith, she's staying that way until she is married. Now, I realize this may sound old-fashioned to anyone here who doesn't have a biblically informed worldview of sexual relations. However, unlike secular culture, God does not think sex is casual. Rather, God thinks so highly of it that he has reserved it for the marriage bed. So because of her purity, because of Mary's purity and her desire to live a life that is rooted in and informed by Scripture and the truths of God, Mary does not see how this is possible. It's the request is going against what she knows to be true from Scripture. So she asks, how will this be? Very fair question. Contrast that with Zechariah, whose doubt is not rooted in a scriptural truth, but rather that he and his wife are too old to have a baby. He's paraphrasing the actor Danny Glover from a 1980s movie. I'm too old for this stuff. It might be a great line in a movie, but it's not a good excuse with God. It's not scriptural. So the reasoning behind each of the questions is completely different. One is scriptural, the other is not. God honors one, not the other. And so Zechariah is made mute while Mary, in the following verses, sings for joy. The second thing I want to touch base on is the name Jesus. Gabriel says in verse 31, you are to call him Jesus. Later in chapter 2, we read that indeed she and Joseph name him Jesus. So we might wonder, why does the angel care what he's named? Like, what's the big deal? The name Jesus is the Greek form of the Hebrew name Yehoshua, sometimes shortened to Yeshua or Yeshua, which in English we call Joshua. So Jesus, Yehoshua, and Joshua are all related. Greek was the common language of the day. It was the language of the Roman Empire. Israel is under Roman rule at this time, has been for quite some time up until this point in the passage or in Scripture. But Hebrew was the native language of Israel. It was the language of their faith as well. So the New Testament is written in Greek because of the Roman influence at that time, while the Old Testament is written in Hebrew. There's one part that's written in Aramaic, but mostly in Hebrew. And the names Jesus and Yehoshua mean God saves. Whether you're talking Hebrew or Greek, it means God saves. Matthew, in his gospel account, explicitly writes that he will be called Jesus because he will save people from their sins. And then I know probably a lot of you know this as well, but Christ is not Jesus' last name. It's a title, really. It's the Greek equivalent of the Hebrew title Messiah, and they both mean anointed one or chosen one. So to speak of Jesus Christ is to speak of one who is anointed to save. He is the anointed one, the Christ, and he's anointed for a purpose to save. This is all God's doing, by the way. It is his grace. It does beg the question, who or what is saved? From Jesus' ministry and then the rest of the New Testament, we see that it is people who recognize that they are in need of a Savior and need of being saved from themselves and from their sin. Oftentimes, we don't like to acknowledge that we need saving or rescuing. That's part of the problem with pride. It's our pride that is at the root of not being willing to acknowledge that or to see our own fallibility, our own sinful nature. But with humility comes a recognition that we can't save ourselves. The good news of Jesus is that he can save us. God has anointed him. He has given him to us for this thing that we cannot do on our own, that we cannot do ourselves. We need all the help and all the saving we can get, whether that's in our marriages, our places of work, raising kids as a single parent, as a couple, wherever the case may be, a health scare that we might be facing now, financial struggles, sin that is in our lives, whether it's sin that we radically acknowledge and confess, or the sin that we try to hide even from ourselves. There are all kinds of things that we need help to get through or flat out need to be saved from. The ultimate one that we all face is the grave. Jesus saves us even there. Not by eliminating it, not by eliminating death, but by bringing us through it to the other side into the presence of God. We can't make ourselves holy and righteous to be in the presence of a holy and righteous God for all eternity. Jesus does that. He saves us for that purpose. It's the job he's anointed for. And this, quite frankly, is why we have joy. It's why we have gratitude. It's what our worship is always rooted in. And I hope and pray this Christmas you know the saving presence and work in your life. The presence of Jesus and the work of Jesus in your life. Even if you've got some doubts and some questions, even if you wonder, how can this be? Come to the Lord in faith and trust in Jesus, because he was born to save you. Gracious God, thank you for this gift. Thank you for Jesus, the Messiah. For the fact that he was born to save us, that you anointed him and chose him for that purpose. May we know that deeply in our lives and live lives that are filled with gratitude and joy, as well as hope and love and peace that we celebrate in Advent as well, knowing that we are in a right relationship with you because of Jesus, because of his saving work, not in his birth, but his death and his resurrection. Lord, make that real in our lives. May we know and acknowledge it today. We pray in the saving name of Jesus, and all of God's children said together, amen.